Yo, yo, yo. Yo, yo, yo. 1, 2, 1, 2. What it do? It's your boy Skeeter Steve. And welcome to another episode of Lace Rhymes, where we're giving it to you for the culture and by the culture.
Yes, sir.
Man. I just want to let y'all know how excited I am for this one, man. Got my boy, the one, the only, from the Family Mart podcast, one of the illest podcasts that's out there right now in the city.
Much love, man.
Oh, yeah, man. No other than my boy, Murs, man. What's up, bro?
Man, yo, I appreciate you, man, for letting me come through. It's been a long time coming because we've known each other for a long time,
man. Like, a long time, just like, you know, just through the city, through the culture, and just through our circles, man. And just, and like when our circles get together, bro, it's always a fucking movie. That's the crazy part, bro. It's always a fucking movie, man. So I mean, like, I'm glad that you're here, man. So we can, you know, shoot the shit on everything, man. No, but
I'm excited, man.
Very, very excited, though, man. But before we get into it, I'm happy that you're here.
Yes, sir.
You know, I hang around a lot of these Dallas Cowboys.
Get them out of here. Get them out of the paint, bro.
Get out of here. Yes, I got a fellow Niner in the building with me.
You already know, man. You already know what time it is, man. I see you had Avion in here.
Yes.
He was all decked out in his cowboy shit. I didn't want to flex. I got another jacket like this, but it's like a Jeff Staple 49ers collab.
Oh,
but I didn't want to flex too hard because, you know, we're about to run into the playoffs, and I want to just keep it like super, you know, humble right now, you know, because we've had a couple chances in the past and it didn't really work out for us,
right?
And both times, man, I was a little bit too extra. So this year we're gonna try a different approach and just kind of like chill out a little bit, be humble. But yeah, man, we looking nice, man.
And I ain't gonna lie, that boy looking pretty good.
Hey, yeah, I was about to ask you, what do you think, man? Like, I'm all on the train, bro. I'm on the Purdy train for sure, bro.
Man, you know what? I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm with you on that because when I was talking to my brother and I was talking to the Chubbs and Marvin, Purdy is everything that we wanted Jimmy to do.
Exactly.
And Jimmy didn't do it. He didn't do it. But Purdy, he's out there coming out the pocket, play action. He's slinging that motherfucker too.
Yeah,
and he's running.
The crazy thing is his accuracy. Like, I feel like Jimmy's accuracy isn't as good as Purdy's.
Yeah.
Like, even if you just run back like the tape and the slow-mo and stuff, when he throws the ball.
Yeah.
One, it's a real nice spiral.
Yeah, it is.
But he gets it right here in the window,
mm-hmm.
right in their hands. And there's plenty of times, especially this season, where I've noticed Jimmy would throw it behind, you know, our receivers, and they'd have to make a play.
Yeah.
But this time, it's, you know, it seems like it's coming more easy for our receivers,
and yep.
especially George Kittle. Kittle been balling ever since Purdy.
Kittle been balling, and Ayuk been balling too. And I told everybody after last season, Ayuk was going to have a breakout season.
Yeah.
And we seen that. And then another thing that I'm liking, I'm happy the game with the Raiders happened the way it did because that lets you know, like, this guy, he can overcome the pressure, like, in the midst of the adversity. Like,
really
he
was poised, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just out there doing that. And then, man.
That was a big game, bro.
Yeah, no, it really was. But I'm like you. I'm trying to be humble.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this last week, we got Elijah Mitchell. And we got Debo coming back.
Everybody's back. And like, me and my boys were talking about it, like, you know, the whole, like, you know, we could rest players.
Yeah.
You know, but I think Coach Shanahan's style is like, yo, we got to keep running, man, like, because we're steamrolling right now. And I think he's going to play everybody. I don't know if he's going to play everybody, like all the snaps they normally play.
Uh-huh.
But they're definitely going to get on the field. And, I mean, not like we need it.
Right.
But I think if we keep the momentum going, and we still have a chance to get the number one seed. So
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
We got something to play for.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Because I'm just feeling like this is just a revenge from last season. And for me, I'm being honest, and I said this plenty of times before, and people know me, last season, we weren't supposed to be there. We wasn't supposed to be there with all the injuries that we had, and we made it all the way to the NFC. We was not supposed to be there, bro.
We took it game by game. Like, if you remember each game that we played, I think the first game we played was, I want to say Green Bay, wasn't it?
No.
Or was it Dallas?
It was Dallas.
It was Dallas. We played Dallas. That came down to that whole weird, like, mix-up shit at the very end. Then we went to Green Bay. We played in the snow. And then we went to LA, which I think we definitely could have won that game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and we already had handled, I think we played the Bengals that year, so we handled the Bengals already.
That could have been
our win, to be honest with you. But it didn't go our way. And you know, we're here. It's a new season. We're here.
Yeah, we're here.
Like I said, it's gonna be real humble about it, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. me too. Me too, man. So I mean, yeah, this last game, it's gonna be a breeze for us. Definitely gonna be. Yeah, me either though. But anybody that's out there and not a fan, if you ever want to watch the game, it's a bar out there in North Las Vegas off of Craig and 95 called Joey's Bar. That's all Niner territory.
No way.
Yes, I went there. I want to say 2 weeks ago. Best experience ever, bro. Being in a bar full of 49ers fans, bro. So, bro, So I might. We might have to do a playoff game together this go around, man.
We used to have, before the pandemic, I live out in Henderson, right?
Uh-huh.
So we have a bar out there. What we did, it was called High Scores.
Oh, I remember High Scores. Yeah,
and the High Scores in Henderson, it was right off Stephanie and 215, Niner Bar. You already know the energy, right?
So yeah.
We're in there, like, me and my cousin would go, me and a couple of my friends would go. So I'd go by myself sometimes, man. And then, like, it's the energy is crazy when you're watching a game at a bar where 95% of the people there are rooting for your team that you're rooting for. And it's a man, I got to check the one out here, man. I might have to come through, man.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Like, and I'm glad that Colin said it on the herd, like, that sea of red, I've been trying to tell y'all for years, it's really real. Like,
every game.
Yeah, bro. Like, and he finally said it, that Niners is the biggest team on the West Coast.
I'm just going to say it.
We run the West Coast.
Yeah. I'm not even from the West. I'm from Virginia. And I'm a Niner fan. Because as a kid, man, my mom's like kind of put me on football, the Niner Chargers Super Bowl.
It's
like
the first
football game I ever seen on TV as a kid, and then I became a Niner fan because of that. Like, obviously they won. My mom had got me like a Super Bowl program, and it had like the first half of it was all 49ers facts and all the players, Jerry Rice, Steve Young, all those guys.
Man.
I'd read up on everybody,
Rathman,
bro.
Garrison Hurst, Langston Taylor, Ken Norton, Bill Romanowski, man, come
you
on,
already
man.
Know. Man. So like. The Niner, like, wave, the fans, they're all over the country. And Colin did say, like, he was like, we're like the top team in the West when it comes to, like, the fans and all that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and it leaks over to the East Coast.
And I heard somebody was telling me it's a pretty big fan base out there in New York and New Jersey, too.
Oh, word.
I'm all like, damn.
That's tight.
I'm all like, damn though, man. But yeah, man, y'all know what it is. Bang bang, Niner game day. All right, before we get in coming to the commentary for the culture, you already know we always have to do an honorable mention here at Lace Roms. Whether it's someone big, known or unknown, what they're doing something and doing great by the community. And this week, honorable mention goes to none other than Texas' own Trade of Truth.
Yes, sir.
Trader Truth comes to an elderly woman's rescue over a $77 trash bill arrest, which is whack. Terrible. Terrible. And Trader Truth went out and always made sure people was in need, though. But the Houston native shared a clip on Instagram, him visiting Martha Minfield, the woman who was arrested for not paying a trash bill worth of $77. She had the authorities come to her Alabama home, take her for custody for not paying the bill that she believes she paid. The arrest caused outrage on social media, but city officials claimed the elderly woman had a history of suspended service and never responded to the citation. To appear in court, Trader Truth took it upon himself to visit a woman and treated her to a shopping spree while asking fans for a donation to help her get central heat and air conditioning and many more. No, I'm not mad at that. But I mean,
she ain't want to pay the bill. Yeah. Who wants to pay trash bill, man?
Right. And, like, and out of all like $77, you could have let that lady go.
Like, it's crazy because, like, you know, we gotta take care. Like, it's part of just the cycle. We gotta take care of the trash people that come and pick it up.
Oh, so, yeah, absolutely. You know,
that's why we got the bill. But it's crazy that we have to pay something that probably should be paid for by the government or something. Man,
I feel you, man.
It's trash. But I was looking into that story when you sent it to me. And, like, you know, shouts to Trey the Truth. And, you know, I think he took on a shopping spree and all that. But, you know, like, I don't, you know, you can't just go and think, like, all right, Trey's going to come save me every time, man. So you got to make sure you take care of your
shit. This is true. But you also, too, I do give a little bit of pass. You know, I'm not saying, like,
and she's older, man.
Yeah, she's older.
She might not have forgotten it.
Yeah, may not be aware. And that's how I know. That's how I know $77, that ain't shit. Yeah. Like, that probably really bypassed her, and like what you said, who knows? She probably thought she was paying it, and really wasn't. And you really arrested her for $77. Right. Now, if it was like $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, okay.
Yeah,
you may sell me on that, but $77, I'm not sold on that.
Yeah, they could have did like a wellness. If she's older, like, they could like a wellness check. But again, like, we don't know exactly like the details as far as like what they did to try and collect the money or let her know.
Mm-hmm.
But from the looks of it, from what I was reading, she didn't realize it, man.
Yeah.
And when you're older, man, you don't really realize a lot of things anymore. That your cognitive ability, your brain function, it kind of like goes down. So you might have just forgot, like, for legit forgot.
Absolutely, man. No, but also too, like, just want to say, you know, big ups to Trey the Truth for you know, coming through and, you know, coming for that lady. So I mean, big ups to you, man, Trey.
For sure.
All right, let's get into commentary for the culture.
Yes, sir.
Man, first up, honestly, I'm very, 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 very happy about this. De La Soul's classic catalog is finally coming to streaming services.
That's dope, man.
After years of label disputes, sample clearances, and wrangling, De La Soul catalog is finally will be coming to streaming services March 3rd, 2023. After a long story with De La fans due to sample clearances and label dispute with Warner Brothers Records and Tommy Boy Records, none of the Pivotal Group's music before 2004 have ever made it to streaming services. In early 2019, stirred up when Tommy Boy acquired the master's recordings from Warner. However, plans to bring their first six albums to streaming services was abandoned when De La pushed back the move, urging fans not to stream the albums because they would not only be receiving 10% of the profits, but a representative of the company promised the Reservoir would work with De La Soul to bring the catalog and the music back to fans. And true enough, De La regained control of their master recordings by August 2021, and now it's going to be on the streaming websites. This was a long battle because even like us, we here at Lace Rhymes, and shout out to Chris and Ryan, we talked about this years before, where we saw De La was going through the dispute with Tommy Boy because Tommy Boy had a lot of artists on their label, but they wasn't paying them. It was them, Queen Latifah, Apache, and just a few of the rappers from the 90s that was on that label. Because, I mean, we could say Tommy Boy was pretty big in the early 90s.
Oh, 100%,
but yeah,
man.
Like, definitely a huge label. And just on the streaming web, on the streaming services, that always used to rattle my mind, like, yo, like, how come De La shit is not on there? And I'm a fan of De La.
Yeah.
Like I'm, the same way we fuck with Tribe, you have to fuck with De La because they have the similarities.
Yeah.
So for this to be major and be big, I mean, it's dope. So now you get to go back and listen to The Stakes Is High, 3 Feet High and Rising, De La Soul Is Dead.
Yeah.
Like, you get to go back and listen to all of these classics and all of these great bodies of work that they put out, though, man. But I mean, this is a huge W for them, man.
Big time, man. And like, it's funny because like I would be on Apple Music and like if I wanted to listen to De La Soul, the only thing I could really listen to is The Grind Date.
Yep,
which is fine. Like, that's a great album. Like, you know what I mean, one of my favorite De La Soul songs. It's like that with Carl Thomas. That's like one of my, you know, at least I get to hear that. But, right. you know, like you said, you know, all the classic albums from, you know, 89 and in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, those are going to be on streaming platforms. And I'm excited, man, because, yeah. like the De La Soul dunks are, like, my favorite dunks. Man, I don't have a pair, but, like, those are so ill.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, man.
Especially
those,
the low tops.
Yeah,
man.
The low tops and even, I ain't going to front, the De La Soul 2s. Yeah. And then. You hype beast motherfuckers make me sick with that. Make me sick with that shit because I remember back in 2015, the De La Soul 2s were at the Nike factory, was only going for $50. Didn't nobody care about them.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody. But that's nor here there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna make a big fuss. You like what you like, you do what you do.
Exactly.
You know, but De La, man, like I'm excited.
It's good for them too, man. And it just shows you, like, you know, like hip hop music back then was really the backbone
yes,
was sampling.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the beats and all that. So, it's tough to on a business level. It's tough to get a lot of those things cleared.
Oh yeah,
especially with maybe some of these guys probably aren't alive no more, so their publishing labels are in charge. And it's harder to get things clear
because of
that. Because usually music creators don't really have a fucking problem with
hip-hop.
Like,
yeah.
So they're like, yeah, man, use it. Whatever the case
like,
may be.
I don't care.
But yeah, exactly. But we got the executives, you know what I'm saying? We got the colonizers back
there.
They want to get the bread and all that. So
yeah.
It could be a big legal issue.
Ooh, man, huge, man. Yeah. Huge. So, but De La, man, here, like I said again, man, we're very, very excited. And not only that, you'll be... gain even younger fans because of their brothers, their mothers, mm-hmm. and even their fathers gonna put you on. Oh, who is this you're playing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's De La. The same way, both of my little brothers, they're a fan of Tribe Called Quest because of me. I put them on the
right.
Tribe. So them being in their mid-20s, listening to Benita Applebaum, mm-hmm. Left My Wallet in El Segundo, the same way, you know, somebody gonna be listening to Buddy, Saturday, The Stakes Is High, Break of Dawn, like, you know, like they got hits, man. That catalog is something serious, so man. But again, man, I'm excited for that, man.
I'm excited for it too.
Yeah,
man.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, moving on. J. Cole sparks new album excitement after clearing out his Instagram. J. Cole might be returning with a new album in 2023, at least. That's what fans are hoping for after noticing the North Carolina native have cleared out his Instagram page. A tactic often deployed by artists before kickstarting their rollout for a new project. After all, Cole previously wiped out his Instagram clean in January 2019 before dropping Middle Child, the lead single on Dreamville's Star-Studded Revenge of the Dreamers Volume 3, which is good, by the way. And y'all ain't never listened to that.
Yeah,
check that out.
That's a fire project,
compilation. Yeah, that arrived this summer. Who is exactly prolific on social media despite boasting almost 8 million followers on Instagram and further 14 million on Twitter has yet to confirm the plans to release new music. But some fans are already speculating that he could be prepping the Fall Off or It's a Boy, two projects teased as part of the Fall Off era back in 2020. It was the same post that he teased the Off Season, which was dropped in May 2021. Now, I think it's coming because even this dating back for me, Day in Vegas 2019, he had the Fall Off posters everywhere when he was doing this set.
Right.
So I feel like that album was in the tuck. So I'm thinking it's ready. So the way he rolls it out, I want to see how he's going to roll it out. Because I always say this, and all my listeners know, like, I fucks with Dreamville. I like them a lot.
Yeah, man.
But when it comes to their marketing, it's not that good to me.
Okay.
Their marketing is not good, and I feel that when you're an artist, and like with him, he has to play many roles, an artist, a producer, and then not only that, looking over everybody else from JID to Erk Yang, Luke Kaz, Ari, to all these people, and making sure that they're good, but ain't nobody looking for him.
You know what I did like about one of their the ways that they did things, I believe it was when they were recording one of the Revenge of the Dreamers, but when they he sent out like his personal invites To specific producers.
Oh yeah, 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 rappers. Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, and this wasn't, it wasn't even publicized. It was one of those things like where he created like a writing camp to create like this, the one of the Revenge of the, I can't even remember which one it was.
Yeah, but, no, it was you know, three.
Was yeah, it part
yeah,
three?
Yeah, yeah, it was
so,
three.
And it was dope because they filmed the process. Project.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like when they did release it, you know, it just kind of, like if we're talking about the culture, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times things back in the day was just word of mouth.
Yeah.
You know, never, you know, hip hop never really used the mainstream to promote their music. It
absolutely.
Was word of mouth.
Yeah.
It was that underground vibe. Like people loved underground hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
The less it was known about, the better it seemed like.
Yeah.
So like I did like that aspect of their marketing, but I do understand like in this day and age, you do kind of have to do a little bit more, especially when you have access to like social media, which is free promo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and when, and when you're at that level too, you could just do anything. You could like, you could drop a video with no sound and say one word and drop that. And everyone's like, whoa, what the fuck is that?
So. No, yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that. And that's why one of the reasons why I definitely enjoyed that documentary, because he said like, I wanted to start collabing with people a lot more, and that's the reason why, one of the reasons why he went on a crazy feature run, because like you gotta think about it, like 2015 16 17, he was just really kind of doing stuff with him, and that's really it. The only thing that we saw that he did was the Black Friday freestyle with Kendrick Lamar,
right?
Like and that was really it. But feature wise he wasn't doing features like that.
Yeah.
But I think what made him kind of catapult a little bit now because of that feature run that he went on, because I hate to say it, that when we're rating the three-headed monster, they consider him as the bronze bomber.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay.
the bronze bomber.
Oh, my God.
You know what I like, too? Something that he did, I don't know if you remember this, but when he was still kind of coming up, and I want to say it was probably after his first album,
mm-hmm.
but he did dollar shows.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing about that.
I think
that.
It was like
yeah.
a dollar, or it might have even been free.
Yeah.
But it was their secret show. So he would just announce it like a few hours before the show, the location, and then you would just pull up. And to me, that was dope. Again, it was at like that underground vibe.
Oh,
it was
the
element of surprise, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, shouts to J. Cole. I would love to hear some new music from him. You know what I mean? I'm a big J. Cole fan from the warm up. That's how I found J. Cole on the Two Dope Boys website. They dropped his music and I was like, yo, who is this? I listened to it. I remember putting all my friends on it, and we were fans at, like, we would go to his shows, like Arizona, California.
Ooh,
we
man,
did a show
a
out here.
I
remember, like, we went to Arizona. Uh-huh. He did a show, and then we drove back to Vegas the next night because he did a show at Hayes.
Oh, I was there.
Yeah. He did a show at Hayes.
Wow.
So we went to Hayes. So we were at the front.
Yeah.
We were at the, and this was before J. Cole was doing stadium.
Yeah, yeah. Cause I remember what's his name was supposed to come with him that night, but he didn't show up. Wale was supposed to come.
Wale was supposed to
be with him and he didn't show up.
So we were at the front of the stage at the Arizona show. And then we were at the front of the little stage he had at Hayes.
Fucking Hayes.
And we, like, Mook had the t-shirt. Mook and Goose had the t-shirt because they did, like, a premeditated murder t-shirt and gave it to him at the show, at the
Ooh.
Hayes show. That was dope. Yeah, that was super dope. And, like, if I could remember, I want to say after he performed, when he was signing stuff,
mm-hmm.
he mentioned, he was like, man, I seen y'all in Arizona or something crazy like that. And then I just remember like, man, this is, we're fucking stans, bro. We're J. Cole stans, bro, for doing that, man. But he's dope, man. You know what I mean?
He is. So, I mean, like, I give him some slack and people understand why I give him some slack though, but I fucks with him. I fucks with him the long way.
Yeah.
I just felt like with certain albums, like that wasn't him. Like going back to what you said, like, the warm up was fire.
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights was fire. We get the sideline story. Nigga, that's not you.
I wasn't a big fan of sideline
story. Yeah. Then we
actually
get to,
quite disappointed.
Yeah.
You know.
Then we get to Born Center.
Yeah.
Born Center wasn't bad though. But we get to yours truly one and two, and this is my opinion, I felt like yours truly one and two should have been the Born Center album. Okay. That was dope. Hair Busters, Cousins, yeah. Kenny Lofton, yeah. Chris Tucker.
Yeah, I mean,
he got
Kenny
dope.
Kenny Lofton was dope, yeah. Man.
And that, then that when we dope. Finally get the Forest Hill Drive.
Yeah. That
okay.
was my shit.
Shit.
Forest Hill
yes.
Drive is my shit,
yes.
man.
This is what you should have came out the fucking yeah. gate, Cole.
Forest Hill Drive was dope, man. And then, like, it too, because I think with Kenny Lofton, he was, I think that was by Kanai Finch, and Kanai was working with him, and he's working with Kendrick, and he was, like, mm-hmm. a newer producer.
Yeah.
So, like, it was dope to hear Cole on other people's beats.
Oh, no, yeah, man. You know yeah, I mean? No, that was real dope, man. But if Cole dropping this album, man, look, I'm here for it. I'm fucking here
oh, yeah,
for it.
Oh, yeah, always, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be dope. No. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see.
we'll see. Like, this last project wasn't bad, though, but it just, the only thing that upset me, he played the Young Man game. He only did, like, 1 2-minute tracks, and one of my favorite tracks that was off the last album was Punching the Clock. I felt yeah. like he could have did a whole fucking story with
yeah.
that,
yeah.
with that joint. But you only gave us 1:40 for that. Cole, you fucked up for
that's
that,
how,
bro.
That's how it is. And some of the best
hate that,
records,
bro.
Man, are like the short like Rock Wilder could have been longer.
You're right, man.
You know what I mean?
I'm like, you do us like that? Y'all some assholes for that, bro. All right, man, before we get into our Can I Kick It segment, we got one more for commentary with the culture. None other than the OG, Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Ice Cube vows to keep fighting for the Friday ownership, but rules out lawsuit. Ice Cube has vowed to continue pushing to regain control of the Friday franchise, even if he's unwilling to take his battle with Warner Brothers Studio to court. The rapper turned film executive spoke recently with TMZ that sparked the conversation, asking if possible Ice Cube to revive the series under a different name. He reiterated previously stated from Warner Bros. He does not own the name of the fan favorite franchise, but names of the characters. You got to use intellectual property, Cube stated. Can't call it Saturday without using Craig and Day Day. So it's the same thing, really. While vowing to continue to fight for the ownership, which he wrote each of the three screenplays, Ice Cube made it clear that he's not interested in entertaining a legal battle with his former studio partners. What is willing to do, however, to convince Warner Bros. That they're wrong. And I'm with him. I feel him on that.
Yeah.
Because I want to say 3 years ago, he was already in the works trying to make The Last Friday. He had two scripts ready, and these motherfuckers rejected it.
Mm.
Like, yo, he was trying to get this movie off the ground, where getting everybody on board with the shit. But yeah. now it's going to be tough because Tiny Lister is gone. AJ Johnson's gone. John Witherspoon Pops is gone. Like, you have three main characters in the Friday franchise that is gone. I think, could he pull it off? Yes, but I'm on that Warner, man. Like, the only y'all got to get y'all shit together, man. Let this man do this movie.
Yeah, I mean, he created a classic yeah. already, multiples of them. So, like, he knows what he's doing. He's telling the story of pretty much the hood, man.
Yeah.
And, like, what everybody is seeing on the mainstream is what really happens. But he
yeah.
put it in a way where it was like comedy.
Yeah.
It was fun to Friday's like one of my favorite movies, man.
Cause I mean, how many,
it's a classic,
yeah, man. It's a classic because shit, I'm just saying, some of us have been there fucking waking up, nigga got fired on his day off.
Yeah.
You go to work to go pick up your check. Like, hey, when you go get the check, what you mean don't come back? Yeah. Oh, nigga, you fired. Niggas got fired on that day off, seeing all the neighborhood, all the crazy shit that went on in the neighborhood. So, I mean, all of these movies that he did was very relatable. And I ain't going front. Friday After Next is funny, though. Yeah. That at first when it came out, it wasn't as funny, though. But as years, oh, my God. Friday After Next is fucking hilarious.
He created classics, man. I think they should allow him to do whatever. And collect. But I actually saw something with Pops on an interview.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably a while ago, but he was saying that, like, people only got paid like $5,000.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
for the yeah for the first Friday.
Yeah,
and I heard that too, but also too, you got to think that was what they did was open the doors for everybody else to
yeah.
come in because.
Yeah.
you know, that was like a huge shift for the culture. They were letting hip hop people not only act in movies, but now allowing them to be behind the camera,
right,
and direct.
Yeah.
So I mean, and the budget was low, but the return on it was very, very
crazy,
high.
Man.
The return on it was very, very high. And I want to say, for them to shoot that movie, I want to say the budget was like, I want maybe like $4 or $5 million.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, bro, that's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
They had to work with that, you know?
100%, man.
Like, you know, so, man, Friday, definitely a huge staple, classic, and for hood movies of all time.
Yeah.
Like, really, and I get it. There's RV arguments going back and forth between Friday, next Friday, Friday after next. I mean, I fuck with Friday. Well, I ain't gonna lie though. I kind of like Next Friday a little bit better. Next Friday, Baby D, Roach, Pinky.
Next Friday was dope, man.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a dope
Joker.
Movie,
yeah, all...
it was a good, like, I guess, what do you call it, a sequel? I guess,
yeah,
it was like a good,
yeah,
sequel to the first one. Yeah,
yeah. Drop everything, come quick. Craig's in trouble. Oh yes, I'm looking for a nigga named Willie Jones.
Man, you know what? It's crazy because like, the black dollar goes a long way.
Oh yes.
And
oh, yes.
I think it showed with those movies that you know, man, I gotta say it, but sometimes, you know, when the colonizers wanna tap in and they probably didn't believe in it and they see what it does, and it's like the greed comes out, and then it's tough because it's like, you know, this isn't your culture. You know,
mm-hmm,
what I mean? So like, let the shit run, man. This shit grew legs, it ran, and I think you should just let people just fucking, you know, make whatever.
Right.
Man, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man, dog. But all right, man, that wraps up commentary for the culture. And now let's get into this segment, you know. Always coming through with the sneakers, you know. Can I kick it, man? All right, first up. Classic. I can't front. It's a classic. Glad to see this silhouette coming back. The Jordan 9 Olive Concords.
Yeah, they look dope, man.
Yeah, man, super dope, man. Fans of the Jordan 9 Olive, you know, when it first came out back in 94, would be treated to a familiar colorway in the next spring. The Jordan 9 arrives in the Olive Concord color plaid with a twist of the 1994 release, as we recently seen creators at Jordan Brand continue to bring back retro-inspired pairs with subtitled design changes. Arriving in a black leather base, silhouette features light olive nubuck, overlays pair Jordan to be branded tongue heel in the midsole. Expect this release January 7th, this weekend, via sneakers and select retailers for $200. You know what though? I'ma clap it up. And the reason why I'ma clap it up for this, niggas is not checking for these.
Nah, they not.
Yeah, them hype beasts is not checking for them, though, but I, you know what?
You gotta be like in your 30s to,
yeah,
fuck with this pair.
Yeah, and 30s. I even say,
yeah,
late 20s
late
too.
20s,
yeah,
yeah, you,
man,
gotta be up there, man, because it's like they said, it's a very classic look, and it's dope, man. Like, you could actually, just looking at them on your phone, like,
uh-huh,
you could rock that with
anything, bro.
You could rock that with anything. And I'm a big fan of, like, just the classic Jordan colors, like black and red and white.
Yeah.
So when I see, like, different colorways, it's hard for me sometimes to get with it. But these ones are dope, man. Like, I really like these. Man, these fucking price tags are wild. I'm not even going to lie, man. They're fucking crazy.
Bro.
It's wild how much pairs of sneakers been going, and sometimes the quality isn't the same as they
be
used to be.
Trash,
man.
Bro.
Yeah.
Be super trash, like what my girl SZA be saying.
I be so, yeah, cheeky.
Yo, the fucking Chicago ones, bro. Like, my boy got his pair, and like, they're not, they're like, the shape is off on the left foot, and like, he ended up picking up a few of them, but it's like, you could tell, like, the quality isn't the same as
bro,
that
it's not.
Make,
hey, you know what? Honestly, like, I have a pair of the Lost and Founds, but I barely wear it because, like, I wore them a couple of times, still,
yeah,
trying to break them in, but they're so fucking stiff. I'm,
yeah,
all like, dude, I'm putting these up.
Yeah.
I just went back to the good old wearing my breads with that, with, mm-hmm, that leather, got that comfortability,
bro, yeah,
in them,
yeah,
man.
The,
but
breads, the Royals, man,
yeah,
when I wear the Royals, I feel like I got socks on.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Because them fucking, Them fucking lost and founds, man. Those ain't. Yeah. Them ain't it.
Yeah,
them
ain't those are dope. Those are, did you pick up the twos?
Nah, man. I wanted to.
I think they still. They still. No, out. They, yeah, yeah, they still. Out there.
They're still sitting. But I'm like you, man. That price tag.
The price tag is crazy.
I mean the 200. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I went to me, but I'm like, and
people probably look at us like, man, y'all, man, it's nothing. Like, it's not, that's not the case. Like,
it's not the case.
When back in the day, when we were buying shoes, one, they were cheaper, obviously. Yeah, you know, yep. Inflation takes a hold of things. But the quality was so good.
It was amazing. Like, yeah. it's amazing. That's just like, you know, seeing certain shoes that sit. That's why I'm not like, shit, I'm just going to say, fuck it. I probably might pick those up at the end of the month or the beginning of the next month. The Silver Bullet 97s. I do have the 2017 pair.
Right.
But I'm all like, y'all really? That's how you know.
And like, with the Air Maxes, too, like, you can feel them, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You could definitely feel them, but also, too, that lets you know, like, they only just really care for what's hype.
Yeah.
Like, hype, but not really caring. Like, for the culture, because I tell people, it's other shit other than Jordan. Like, other than Jordan, man, though. But nonetheless, though, I mean, this Jordan 9, Olive Concord, I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm definitely fucking with it, man.
I wish we can get back to the days where, you know, we could just pull up to the store and try them on at least.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I'm still a man about quality with my product. So, like, I miss those days because now you can't do that. You got to just order them online. Get the shipment in. You can't even, like, get.
And if you don't like them, you can't return them.
Yeah, you just got to sell them shit. And it's like, which is fine. You know, they got the resale value, and that culture alone is another story.
Sure, yeah, man.
But it's like, you know, I still like to wear shoes that are good quality. You know what I mean?
So, oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Especially
I'm with
if I'm
you.
Spending, like, some bills on
them. Right, right. You know, better be, yeah, man. No, I'm with you on that, man. I'm definitely with y'all on that, though. Yeah. But let us know at Lace Rhyme somewhere, like, you know, y'all going to see the visuals if this a cop or drop for y'all, man.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Next up. We got the JJ Jones Bapestas.
Those
man.
Are dope. Those are
yes,
dope.
I'm definitely fucking with these.
I'll drop money for Bapes.
Yes.
Like, I'll drop money for Bapes. Let's
yeah,
just
man.
That,
no,
yeah.
Yeah. Even if I'm in a relationship, I'm willing to risk it all.
I'll spend money, like, I'll spend an extra bill.
Right.
Bill and a half for some Bapes, man. No, over some
for
Jordans,
real.
Like, straight up.
Yeah, man. But, known for this Chris and minimal approach to the JJ Jones deliver yet another clean sneaker with the all-white leather upper Bapesta. The silhouette keeps its classic fixings on the Bapesta tongue tag shooting star logo, which appears on a deep navy blue. The only difference here is with the laces, which you could opt a rope shape rather than a classic flat one. The sneaker comes housed in a navy blue Bape camo box, which features the JJ branding on the side. Look for these Bapestas, that's gonna be dropping January 7th, 11 a.m. Eastern time on the JJJown.com website. And the retail tag for these are $310.
Worth it.
Yes. The pair will be dropping via worldwide. I'm
worth it, man.
I'm fucking with these, man. I'm like,
worth
yeah,
it, bro.
Yeah. Those, now, these is.
Like, I'll skip over the nines and go straight to that, bro. I swear to God, man. Like, I skip over the nines, the Chicago, the two, all that.
Man.
Anything that dropped in the last 2 months, I'll skip over it and get these, man.
Man, no, yeah, these is fire. And not for nothing, though, man, Bape never disappoints.
Never, man.
They never disappoint. Even, like, you know, when they do collabs, another one that I definitely do want to go back and get because people are sleeping on those, the Bape Adidas camo.
Bro. Those are like, dope, man.
Dumb fire, yeah.
and that's like a sneaker, man. That again, I would drop money for.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to put price, like, always talk about the price tag, but it's fucking expensive, man.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, like, sneakers are expensive, man, and they're products that are a collector items for a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's definitely hard to come across them. And when you do got them and you put them on your feet and you're walking around, you go to the show.
Right.
Or you go to like the spot, like right. a, whatever the right. case may be.
Cool little lounge or yeah. something, man, you know.
Everyone looking like, yeah, I got the bass.
Bass on. Yeah, 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 I got the bass, man. Yeah. I got them. It's nothing. Just something like
yeah,
something.
It's the respect right. too. Like yeah. you see somebody else when you're like, I see you, dog.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
He knows what's up.
He know what he's doing.
We buy you a drink, bro.
Right. Exactly, man. No, but yeah, man, definitely, man. This is a cop for me, and I know that's definitely yeah. a much, yeah, definitely for sure a cop for you though. But last up on our Can I Kick It list, the Nike LeBron 7 FAMU.
Yeah.
The Florida A&M became the first HBCU to be a Nike LeBron sponsored school. The perks of that means PEs, as FAMU gotten a few LeBron PEs in the past few years, are now a FAMU branded Nike LeBron 7 is dropping to the public in 2023.
Yeah.
The sneaker features a half booty construction, pause, TU panels with the medal on the lateral side secured by the fly wire cable seen running white throughout, the black nub buck overlays utilized on the rest of the sneaker, a FAMU's orange and green seen on the swoosh on the top eyelet and the tongue, liner Rattlers logo seen on the tongue.
Yeah.
Nike LeBron 7 FAMU is set to drop also January 7th via sneakers at select retailers for $200.
Yeah.
Shoe not bad, but the price, it's not worth the $200. I'm sorry.
I didn't know that FAMU had that sponsorship.
Me either. I just knew, dope, yeah, man. I knew he did a collab, but I didn't know about the sponsorship. That took me by surprise.
Because I think FAMU, I want to say they also got either a pair of Dunks or it was an Air Force One.
Yeah.
I can't really remember. It might have been an Air Force
One. One, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's dope, man. Like, even the it's cool. I probably wouldn't spend the money for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but, you know, and the colorway, too close to my alma mater, like, University of Miami, like, you know, I gotta rock the green and the orange, man. So.
Oh, man, look, see? You're so look. Look, man, look, I'm trying to look. I'm about to, honestly, about to go cop them Dunks because I got the sweater over there, bro.
Yeah, like, yeah. I got the Dunk. My girl got me the Dunks for Christmas, so I'm gonna rock them to graduation, man. And just,
hey,
you know what I mean? Really represent,
yes,
man.
No, yes, so, sir.
You know, so yeah, man. I don't know if I would cop those. Shouts to LeBron though. Shouts to HBCUs and
right.
getting that plug, man, because that's big. But they probably could have made something a little cooler.
No, yeah, I'm with you on that, man. Yeah, they could have. Yeah, definitely could have made something a little bit cooler, and in my opinion, better. Because
yeah.
I'm being honest, like that's all right. And I've really never been a fan of LeBron shoes like that. The only ones that I'm a fan of is LeBron 8s out of his collection.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm fucking with the 8s, but all them other ones. Get them up out of here. or like what Kendrick Lamar say.
Take it off.
Take it off. Take them motherfuckers off.
What? How do you feel about Nike no longer releasing Kyrie's, man? Like,
because
the Kyrie, and I've said it before, the Kyrie is such an amazing basketball shoe. You know, they've come out with so many different, like, colorways and
yep.
collaborations
yep.
and things like that. You know, they got Ja Morant now is going to try and lead the way. I'm not
right.
really feeling his.
Yeah, I'm not really either. Yeah,
him.
Yeah, them shits are.
Yeah, and you know.
It ain't it, bro.
And Kyrie is still at the top of his game.
Yeah, bro.
So, you know, it's like, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to try to snag a pair of Kyrie's.
Oh, yeah, bro.
It's going to be tough, man. You know, I think the price tag is going to go up, but. You know, I think Kyrie's are the elite basketball shoe.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the modern basketball era.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
no, yeah,
I mean?
I definitely give him that, though, because at one point, I was this close for being sold, but my little brother, he's still a fan of those.
Yeah.
KD had a good shoe, too.
Yeah.
Like, I used to see a lot of people hooping it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
KD's were
yeah,
comfortable, too.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely hooping the KD. So, but I'm with you, though. Like, that was a bad move, and... Nike eventually they're gonna have to eat that.
He was the number one selling shoe.
Yeah, once they start seeing it, oh, they gonna feel that wrath.
Yeah.
They're gonna feel it eventually though. But yeah, man, I couldn't agree with you more though. Like that was a bad move. That was a bad move on them because I mean we spoke on it previous episode where you know shit happens. He already apologized, so but when you was trying to make him jump through all these hurdles and hoops, now you was chastising that man, and that wasn't cool at all. Like really. So now Nike, I'm still a fan though, but y'all fucked up on this one, bro.
Yeah, it's weird because you know Nike's known for they'll drop people, like, you know, they drop Pacquiao, they drop Tiger Woods, you know, when shit hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, they've got their own little controversial shit too. Yeah, like, yeah, they you know, do. With the shit they over do. In China and all
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So like it's almost like you know, hey, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say I'm backing up anything that's like, you know, that it is anti-Semitic, and who knows? I didn't really look too deep into it. I don't know what Kyrie, what the documentary was about or anything like that.
Right.
But however, like, as far as the sneakers go, like that, I'm gonna miss it, man. Because as a basketball coach, it was fun seeing all these kids rock the Kyries. And back then, like, not even back then, but before, you would rock your basketball shoe matching the colors of your uniform, right?
Yep, yeah.
But like Kyrie's, bro, the colors were so crazy. You had people with like black and red uniforms, but they're rocking like orange and fucking pink Kyrie's or some
shit,
man, right?
Like, yeah, man. Kyrie had everybody. Yeah, man. He had everybody in the chokehold, man.
Yeah.
And that's what I definitely enjoyed about his shoe though. Now when it comes to these prices, I don't see no price hiking up no time soon. Right. Like, no time soon. So if you still want to grab them, go ahead and grab them. I say give it about, like, I'm going to say probably like 4 to 5 months before you see a price spike.
Yeah.
Like, in those shoes.
Once Kyrie probably falls into a new situation,
mm-hmm.
Those Nikes are going to definitely move up, man.
Absolutely. But that concludes our Can We Kick It segment. So once again, you're going to see all the sneakers that's going up that we had talked about. So let us know if you're fucking with them, or if you're not fucking with them, you know, leave a comment. Everything in regards to the three sneakers that we had went over, the LeBrons, the Babes, and the Jordan 9. So you already know. Let us know. Definitely let us know. All right, man. It's about that time. So let's get into Check the Rhyme. So you already know, normally with Check the Rhyme, we always gonna always, you know, review some albums. But now when it's being so early in 2023, we don't have nothing that's really that just out there.
Yeah.
You know, the last album that we had got, like a major album, was Av Soul, Herbert, and that was very, 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 very amazing.
I'll fuck with
that
album.
Yeah, me too.
That
and
shit was good.
Yeah,
man.
And it's gonna carry into 2023. I can see that carrying into 2023.
Of course, yeah. I'm still listening to that.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. So the question that I'm putting out there, man, who do you want to see drop in 2023?
Man,
I got a few on my list that I want to see who drop, but also too some others that gotta redeem themselves. Starting off with fucking Jack Harlow. He definitely gotta redeem himself.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that the last joint he put out.
Yeah, because like for me, that album, you had the Drama co-sign, you had the Drake co-sign though, but you had that machine backing you so much where your fans just wasn't really with it. And then not only that, what you should have did is just waited. Nigga, you dropped the same week as Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah.
Bro, that's a no-no. It's like, when it comes, now, I'ma just say this. When it comes to Kendrick, Drake, or Cole, you cannot drop the same day as those three niggas.
You
have to wait. You either have to wait or push your shit back. Like, you definitely have to wait, man.
It's, you know, it didn't have very much replay value, that Jack Harlow joint. I think I listened to it one time and it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, also I'm not a huge fan of Jack Harlow, so I don't really like find the need to continue listening to something that didn't really get me. Now, like with Herbert, that shit was dope. Like the music, the musicality, the content. He was spazzing out on a lot of the records. I really like the joint with Jhené Aiko in it. You know, and it's just a lot to take in with that album, which I love, because Ab Soul is like one of those dudes on TDE, originator. You know, he was coming up like with Kendrick even before K Dot.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the first ones that I knew. The first time I actually seen Ab Soul was I did a show in Riverside when I used to rap, and he was opening up too. Like, he went up like right after us, and I was just blown away because I was like, "Who's this dude? Look like Eazy-E." And then he started rapping. I was like, "Yo, this dude is fucking dope." Yeah, man, California is definitely the
Carson
place
California. Yeah.
So I love Herbert, but as far as like a someone I want to hear, and you know, I might get some slack for this, but as a Jay-Z fan, especially with what's been going on lately, like in the last whatever since his last album, I just like to hear Jay speak and him rap. And you know, he might not be what he was like in the 90s and early 2000s, mm-hmm. but just like him flexing, I just love listening to that dude flex. And so it'd be nice to hear what he got to say, you know.
Yeah, man. My thing is I'm honestly just sick of the flexing shit. That's my biggest gripe with him. Yes, right. Bro. We know you got billions. We know you got these paintings and all like this. Get back get back to the fucking essence. Like, for me,
I like that, like, shit though, man. Cause that, to me that's like the next step in my life, is to get those paintings. Is to like,
oh no, yeah, that's like, a, yeah, that's
to get
a, yeah.
The, to get those big to be in, at the table trying to get these deals, these brand deals, like Jay's doing. So like, I find like a little bit of an inspiration that way. You know, just as a fan, I think I would love to hear something with Hove dropping like a whole album or something like that, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Man, but I like, for me, I just want him to get back to the core of it. Cause I mean, another prime example that, you know, I think we're gonna hear more from him again this coming year, and I'm here for. I'm ready for some more Nas and Hit-Boy collabs.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Bro, and bro, like 100%. Like I'm here for that. Definitely here for that.
What'd you think of part three?
I like three. Three was good though, but I get a lot of slack from this though too. Two was dope, but I'm still stuck on one. That first one is something different.
The first one is dope. I really like part two. There's a lot of joints on part two I listen to. Yes. Part three, I really like the first half of it. It really, really, if you want to talk about like the core and the essence of it, like I think they really hit that mark in the first half of three.
Yeah, man. But even on three, like, what, like, you know what else too? I wouldn't mind hearing him do too. Cause I mean, towards the end of the joint of Reminisce, how Hit-Boy switched that into a drill beat and he started rapping like a drill rapper.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
That was dope.
I'm here for
it's
that.
Definitely something you wouldn't hear Nas do ever.
But
bro,
when he did that, he did that so fucking good. Well, I was like, yo, nigga, if you ever wanted to go with the drill, bro, I'm here for it.
I could just imagine him in the studio and like Hit-Boy, like, yo, let's try something new, dog. Like,
right.
Like try this, let's do this, you know, and might not work, it might work, but I think that's just the beauty of music in general. Is
no,
like,
yeah, man, absolutely. You get to tap in,
especially Hit-Boy, he's young, man. Like,
yeah, man.
He's a young guy, and, you know, Nas is a fucking veteran, you know what I mean? So, like, them collabing is dope. And
amazing.
Everyone had problem with Nas's beats. Everyone got a problem with Nas' beats, but yo, he got Hit-Boy now, so like, yo.
And you know what, though, too, and fuck all the motherfuckers who always be saying that shit, though. I fuck with a lot of Salah, Remy shit. Like, a lot of this shit, it was even dope. Like, even, like, one of my favorites was off of Life is Good, Bye Bye Baby. That sample from, that they sampled a guy, Goodbye Love, that was fucking dope. Yeah. Like,
he's
like,
got some joints, man.
Yeah,
he's not
do.
Completely garbage.
Yeah, he ain't no trash bag,
though.
He's not
complete garbage.
Right, man. So, like, don't be doing that shit. Don't be doing that shit, man. Y'all don't be doing that shit. Y'all fucked up for that. You're wrong. Yeah. But another person that I'm very excited, and I was able to cover that to let him know that he's dropping, I'm glad to hear that A$AP Rocky is coming back on the scene. I'm excited for that. I'm definitely excited for that.
Yeah,
I'm very excited for that. Another one that I definitely want to hear, because, I mean, that project was just awesome, and he gets better, and it's just so crazy how he's getting this just due. But I'm ready for some more Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. He's a very creative. I mean, it's in his name, like, creative dude, you know. As a listener, especially I'm a big fan of Pharrell. I'm a big fan of the Neptunes, And, you know, he is too. So you kind of see the inspiration.
Oh, yes.
So I'm always intrigued when he drops a project because I want to hear what he's going to do. You know? So.
Yeah. And for me, I said this on record plenty of times and people looked at me crazy. But now some out there, it's like, all right, Steve, what you said? Yeah, you was right. And I said this before. Tyler is the second coming of Pharrell. It's like everybody has that second coming,
right? Like the guy coming up,
yeah,
with similar styles,
similar styles. Like I remember Rakim saying that Nas was his second coming,
right?
And then when Nas went on Drink Champs, Nas said his second coming was Lupe Fiasco, and I agree with that though. But it was fucked up how the industry did Lupe though.
I feel it, but I feel like Lupe also does that shit to himself, man. Like
it's a half and half. I'm with you. I'm with you.
You know, he's just like he's a weirdo in my opinion. I'm not gonna front, man. Like
damn,
yeah, man. He just like I don't know, man. He gets so caught up.
Oh my god,
he gets so caught up in shit. Like yo, fam, like it's okay. Like just relax a little bit, man.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, but it, you know, I think another person I'd like to listen to come up, he just dropped the album this year, in 2022, which I think is the best album to come out. But I would love to hear another Pusha T album, man. Give me some more Coke bars, bro. Give me some more Coke bars.
And you know what? This album, it was for me, it was dope. But that Daytona is aging well.
Daytona's great,
bro,
man.
Really, yeah.
Especially so I went to the tour in LA and obviously he played some of the Daytona joints and of course some of his classics from Lord Willing. Mm-hmm. And it was like listening to Daytona live like that.
I know it had to hit different.
Oh my god, bro.
I know that hit that different. Shit,
we were in there just fucking I was going ham, man. I was dancing. I was fucking just, I was drunk too and hot. We were smoking in there. Like, it was a good vibe, man. And I'm just a big Pusha T fan, man. Coming from Virginia and listening to the clips growing up, huge Pusha T fan. I don't know nobody in the industry that could talk about the same thing every song and it's dope.
Right.
Literally.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And so, I still feel like, and like one of the best joints ever, and everybody know that I'm a Kendrick stan, that nostalgia.
That is
different, but what's so crazy now, it was just so crazy how the internet went viral when they revisited and broke down both of them niggas' bars.
Yeah,
that
man.
That was fucking crazy.
Yeah, that was dope. And
that was crazy.
Knots did that, right? Knots did that beat?
Yeah,
so, like, you know, I would love to hear some more Push. And also, like, I'm a Ghostface fan, man. So it'd be dope to hear like, a new Ghostface album.
Yeah, for the OGs out there, man. No, man, I'm here for Ghost, man, because, man, they always getting their bags and whatever they do. Shit, not too long ago, shit, they just got a bag for them on the Ninja Turtles game on PS5.
Oh, what?
Yeah. And it was so crazy. I was playing the game like with a couple people on the internet, and then when Shredder came out, Ghostface was rapping to that nigga. That nigga was all like, "Nigga, I'm sunning all y'all on Little Caesars. These muscles on me, I could beat your teacher."
Dog,
like I was like him rapping, like him being like the Shredder, like how he's just annihilating the turtles from limb to limb.
He's been like that, man.
Bro, like when he came on, I was like, oh shit, Ghostface on here.
That was
so dope, like so dope to hear though. So I mean, I'm with you on that, man.
Whoever put that together won. Like they see the vision.
Right. They fucking won with that one though. Yeah. So I'm with you on that. I'm here for some Ghosts, and I can't lie. After Mr. Morel and the Big Sippers, I'm want some more Kendrick. And the only reason why
Think we're gonna get some more Kendrick albums?
I think we are though. But I think like
it's gonna be another 5 years.
I wouldn't say no 5 years because I mean so much time has changed, and it was just crazy for me to hearing that how him and Soul went through that writer's block around that same time together.
Yeah. Yo, speaking of Soul, man, did you listen to the interview he did with Charlamagne?
Yes, loved it.
That shit was crazy, bro.
Amazing, bro.
Man, so like I started playing the album, and then like got through a few records, and then my boy sent us the interview. So I stopped playing the album, and I started listening to the interview. And then every time he had a crazy story, I'd go into the album, and I'd be like, damn, this shit is fucking crazy, dude.
Bro. No, like it is. And I said this once, and I said this before, and now people are starting to believe me when I said this shit. Mac Miller. And when it came to Mac Miller, Mac Miller was so close with that camp.
Yeah, man.
It was ridiculous. I remember seeing an interview, Red Bull Beat Writers, where they had Mick Sally and Soundwave on there. And when they had asked them about Mac Miller, they said Mac Miller is the honorary fifth member of
TDE.
Of Black Hippie. Black Hippie. And I even go a step further to say this, and I've been saying this. Mac Miller deal was about to be up with Warner. And I guaranteed after that deal was up, he was going to jump shift and go to TDE with his partners.
That would have been dope,
bro,
man.
No, bro, yeah. That would have been dope. Bro, that's like...
Imagine Ali like on the boards with over some Mac Miller
shit. No shit, bro. Damn, like, that's fucking insane, though. So that just lets you know, like, his presence was heavy. But also, too, like I was saying, back to Kendrick, I think we're going to get some because Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers... It was dope, though, but when I saw that motherfucker live,
yes, man,
that hit different. And then, because people was, they're not feeling it. I was like, bro, you had to be in there. And then, when he did the Amazon Prime joint and when everybody got to see what we saw in the concert, everybody was like.
You had to be there, man.
When they saw that, everybody was like. Oh, damn, yeah, you're right. This album, like, it really, really hits different.
So, like, the thing I like about Kendrick Lamar, he's one of my favorite rappers, too, right? And the thing that I really like about Kendrick and what people should understand about it if they're still kind of, like, wishy-washy about him is, to me, Kendrick is a theatrical type of MC.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is his music, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just songs. Okay, it's the visual behind it. He's always been that type of dude to always take the music videos an extra step with the creativity process, something that's completely different. And when you have a tour or when you have an album that Kendrick drops, his tours are always super theatrical, like the Damn Tour.
Amazing.
With the Kung Fu Kendrick shit.
Bro, that was fucking amazing.
That shit was
crazy,
right?
Bro.
Even his first album, bro. Yeah, like, bro. It was a storyline. Like, he took you through the movie.
Man. Crazy.
My favorite studio album he did, To Pimp a Butterfly, that shit was
too.
Jazzy. Jazzy. Like, you know what I mean? Like... And when I went to the tour, the last one, I kind of got in my feelings a little bit because as a fan of his, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking this is it. This is like the last time we're going to see K-Dot drop some like shit, right? So like, you know, and seeing it all come together and then seeing the pain in the music, seeing, you know, the dancing was amazing.
Amazing,
like,
bro.
It was
bro,
like,
when the last time we've been to a concert, a hip hop concert at that with fucking dancers.
With dancers, bro.
Bro, like with fucking dancers. You ain't seen that. For me, I'm gonna have to say niggas ain't seen that since the MC Hammer days.
Bro, I went home trying to do it, the dancing, bro. Like I was that hype, man. Yeah, you know. And it was a great time. I love how he like presents himself as an artist.
Yes.
You know, if I were to do it, I would do it exactly like how he does it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm with you
it's
on
a
that.
Full
man.
Experience, man.
Man. Definitely full experience.
Full experience.
So,
man.
But him, ready for some Schoolboy Q.
Yeah, man. You know, it's funny. I thought the when I saw the Herbert cover, I thought it was Schoolboy. Because you know how the TD always, they push each other, right?
Yeah, they do.
I saw Schoolboy tweet it. And I'm like, oh, we get a new Schoolboy album.
Man, no, yeah, I'm here for that. And, of course, I do like my fuck shit. And I do like it. The cat from Detroit, Iso Vizo.
I don't think I've ever heard of him.
Yeah, bro, yeah, no, he's dope. Yeah. Moneybagg, yo, I want some more Moneybagg, yo. I fucks with him heavy. And I hate to say it. I'm ready for her to like to really really dig into her craft so she can get better, because I do like how she flows. I do want to hear some more of Glorilla. I like that. And also too, for on the female aspect, I'm ready for Rhapsody to come back.
I love Rhapsody. Man, I was just about to say that.
I'm ready for Rhapsody to come back.
You know who I like too, man? Who? Shay Noir.
And she could.
I mean, bro, if you got a female rapping alongside Griselda, bro.
Oh yeah,
you know she could. She could spit, bro.
Her.
I'd love to listen to more of her.
Yeah, her. I ain't gonna front though. I fucks with Armani Caesar too. I wanna hear some more. And another person that she had dropped the album earlier this year, but I wanna hear more for her because she could fucking rap. The Chicago native Dreezy. Dreezy is fucking dope.
I don't think I've ever heard.
Dreezy's dope. And I gotta say this. Tierra Whack, baby, I'm ready for you to come back. You've been gone too long. Every time when you get on the track, you shitting on niggas. Like, for real. Like, I fucks with Tierra Whack heavy.
You know,
like, man.
You know who I would also want to hear a new album from, maybe a little bit more on the lesser known scale, is Loot.
That album he had in 2021,
that shit was an anthem for me. I played that shit every day,
and that
bro.
Was great. And that's where I go. That's where I go back to say, Dreamville need a fucking marketer, man. That album was dope, and it flew over niggas' heads, man. Yeah. Like that album was amazing. So I'm with you on that. Like I want to hear more from him. I definitely want to hear from Kaz. I definitely want to hear some Kaz. I definitely want to hear some Omen, because we ain't heard from Omen in a minute.
Man, you took it all the way back.
Yeah, we ain't heard from Omen in a minute.
You know what's funny is we ran into him in the casino for the J. Cole show, and when he did the show at Hayes.
Uh-huh.
And because I couldn't get in the club because I had on Tim's. So
being a hater.
So I had to. Me and my boy had to go back. He said he had some. I was rocking like some size 11s. I wear a size 9, 8.5, 9. So I had to wear like some size 11 dress shoes. But we were going through the casino. We ran into Omen, and he was dope. Like, he was cool. Like, you know, he probably didn't expect to be recognized, but that shit was dope, man. Like, I feel you on that, man. Like with the whole marketing thing, but you know, which I gotta say, man, shout out to my boy Shake from Two Dope Boys, because if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have all this music at my disposal.
Hey, no, man,
bro.
Two Dope Boys, really, if you were like really that mixtape blog era, man, like they were the ones that was on the forefront, putting us on to a lot of shit that we ain't never heard of, bro. Like, we ain't never heard of, because of them, I'm ready for an album from them. I'm ready for some Flatbush Zombies. Y'all know,
if y'all don't know,
you better ask somebody.
That'll be crazy, bro.
Yeah, I'm ready for some Flatbush Zombies. Like, you know,
we're gonna get a lot of music, man, because like we get it every year.
Yeah,
like,
man.
There's so much music that comes out because of how easy it is to put it out
nowadays. Yeah, it is, man.
But it gets tough to. I think I talked to you about this before. It's been so hard to consume music because I'm used to like taking a month to listen to shit, man. And new shit comes out every week.
Every fucking week. Yeah,
man.
Yeah. And so it makes it hard. Very, very makes it hard to consume, though. But I'm like you. I'm ready for what 2023 has to offer.
Yeah, man.
And just like just music-wise and hip-hop-wise. And also, too, another thing that I do want to see in 2020, all the female rappers, you know, from the City Girls and them, the Cardi and all like that. I want to see y'all do a collab with Rhapsody. Bridge that fucking gap. I want to see
it. They should, man.
Like,
know,
they really should. Like, I'm here for that. I'm really here for that. I want to hear City Girls rapping with a Queen Neelam or Veil of the Wonder. Like, you know, two different styles, or a Shay rapping with Rhapsody or with a Cardi. Like, it's two different elements. So, ladies, can y'all do that for me, please, for 2023?
That would be dope.
Very, 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 very dope. All right, it's about that time, y'all. So you know what it is. Let's get into this classic corner.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
All right, we're gonna take you back. 1995.
father was famous. He was the greatest samurai in the empire.
I haven't heard this joint in a long time. I had to, when you said it to me, I went back to it.
He cut off the heads of 131 lords.
This changed a whole landscape of MCs when he did this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
the Shogun just stayed.
And honestly, for me, like, of course, the Wu, all their first solos did great, but my opinion, he had the best one.
Yeah.
He had the best one.
Come home. He'd forget about the killings.
Oh my God.
You know what's dope about this project was?
Maybe that was the problem.
Just like that New York rap.
Yeah.
Stringing it with like, again, the theatrical style shit. And the soulful shit. And then the hard boom bap shit. Like, it was just, everything was on this project.
Right. Then we get into it.
Yeah.
I swing swords and cut clown. Shit is too swift to bite. You be caught and write it down. I flow like the blood on a murder scene. Like a syringe on some wild out shit to insert a vein. But it was your walk the shop, stolen art, catch a swing.
And then this,
man. That's my crazy, bro.
Y'all smelling y'all piss now. Y'all think
yeah, this is.
Over here, I'm in trouble. His wordplay on this is crazy.
That's mine. Y'all niggas step the fuck off. Y'all niggas ain't crazy for real. Yo, the things ain't coming fast enough. There is no fight to spare enough. I'm deep down in the back streets, in the heart of Medina, about to set off something more deep than a misdemeanor.
I'm in the back streets of heart of Medina, I'm about to set off something that's iller than a misdemeanor. What?
Yo,
what?
The joint I like on there too is the one he did with Meth, man. That shit.
Oh my!
That shit, cause you know me, I love that soulful shit, man. And,
oh my! Oh my God,
this
bro!
This joint.
Jesus Christ. Bro. When I went back and listened to this, I was like, oh my God. Jesus Christ.
I break you down to the bone gristle. Hell speaking, Scud missile, heat seeking. Johnny Blazer, nightmares like West Craig.
And then like the voice sound, right, man, like
crazy.
Before it happened. Before, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Using the fucking everything voice sample, bro.
In any shape, form, or
fashion. Then another one. Man.
I had a bad dream.
Don't be afraid.
And like what you said,
bad
like
dreams are only dreams.
Entering like with the messing the kung fu movies.
Yeah,
into
man.
This,
mixing that shit, man.
Shit, just crazy, bro.
And then like the beats on this joint, like the snares fucking snap your neck.
Right.
Like it's, for an album that came out in the early 90s,
so
and then you had like.
It was the night before New Year's and all through the fucking projects. Not a handgun was silent, not even a tech. Outsiders were stuck by enemies who put fear and blasted on the spot before the pigs were dead. You know, hoods robbing snipers new in sight. Fuck blue and white.
Oh my God,
yeah, I'm gonna have to bump that shit when I leave, man.
Jesus Christ, but if y'all don't know what we talking about, man, and honestly, this is a fucking classic. GZA, Liquid Motherfucking Swords, man.
Classic, bro.
Man, November dropped in November 7th, 1995, man. The producer at the hand was RZA in the basement in New York and Staten Island brought the heavy samples from the martial arts film Shogun Assassins as it maintained a dark atmosphere throughout incorporating lyrical references from chess, crime, and philosophy, man. Liquid Swords had numerous guest appearances from other 8 members of the Wu-Tang Clan and especially the Wu-Tang Clan affiliate Killer Priest.
Yeah.
And you know, and after upon of you know the decade, it finally went platinum. But when it came out, it debuted at number 9, and then for Billboard 200, it peaked at number 2. And you know, and when it got the recognition with a number of famous publishers proclaiming to be this album, Liquid Swords, wanted to be the greatest albums of all time. And in 2007, the Chicago Tribune cited it as the most substantial lyrical journeys in hip hop history. I mean,
That's it. That's all you need to know.
No. That's all you need.
Go listen to the album. If you've never heard of Liquid Swords, which is fine, you know, like, it's been a minute since I've heard the project, like a long time.
Right,
man.
Right. And we
might have been 10 years since longer.
Right,
maybe,
right,
so,
right. Right.
You know, go listen to it, man. It's great classic.
No, yeah, man, absolutely, man. And for this just when he dropped this, everybody was just dope lyrical, but when he did this, I was like, oh yeah, Nee. I understand. Yeah. I understand why you stand out so much from the crew. Man. For real.
For sure underrated. Like, yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's for sure
one
of the underrated ones.
Yeah.
Man, like I said, when you sent it, I had to go back and look. I forgot about it, man. And I say that respectfully, just because there's so much music out there.
I
just forgot about it.
No, man, and this is the reason why we have Classic Corner here at Lace Rhymes, where we're bridging the gap, and we, you know, like what you said, we consume music so much, and sometimes you forget about those holy grails or those gems that we grew up listening to. And I just feel like this, I'm not even mad if somebody put this in their top 5 or top 10 greatest hip-hop albums of all time. I would not be mad at it. Hell, I wouldn't 100%. Even argue. I wouldn't even argue that.
Yeah, no matter what it is.
Liz,
no,
yeah.
1 through 10, whatever it is.
Right.
Fine,
I wouldn't argue that, though, but from you know, from all these tracks from, you know, Cold World, Shadowboxing, Gold, even the Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, having that as the last track of your album doesn't even get any doper than that. I Got Your Back. Like, you know, like, he has so many dope gems on there, man. But I just love the fact how when they were doing their solo albums, they were incorporating the martial arts, so it was kind of like an ending from somebody's album and then continuing on to another person.
They never left the Wu style, man. Like, that's just who they are, man.
Yes, man. No,
RZA was in his bag though with that shit, bro.
Yes, he was, man. No, damn. Definitely, like, because like we always heard, like, you know, sounds, and I just feel like when it comes to a producer, RZA don't get that credit because his sound was just so unique and very, very original. Something that wasn't never done before.
Right.
Never done before, man.
And like, he was definitely, you know, his brain just didn't work like everybody else. So he was doing shit that no one was thinking about doing, man. So I think he was definitely not only an originator, but he's definitely a huge backbone to the sound of Wu-Tang, man. So, I mean, he created a lot of everything, man, for them. So, like, you know, God, that shit is so classic, bro. You took it all the way back.
Man.
I'm bumping that shit leaving.
Man, that's what's up,
I'm
man. That's it, man. That's what's up, man. That's what we do, brother. Like, you know, man, so I'm just happy that, you know, I was able to, you know, stand out and pick this. And then, like I said, after a decade later, the album finally went platinum.
Right.
But I just felt like it should have went platinum around that time, though, but I get it.
Yeah.
People have their different qualities and their tastes, so I understand it. But for, like what I said, for it to come out, debut at number 9 and then peak at number 2, that spoke volumes.
Yeah.
That definitely spoke volumes. And, you know, it's 2022 and we're still talking about Liquid Swords. Hell, I want to say
about almost 30 years.
Yeah. Just not too long ago, Supreme just did a drop having that as an album cover on a t-shirt.
That's
Liquid,
right.
Liquid Swords.
That's
so,
right. I remember that. Yeah,
man. So that just lets you know, like, this album right here, like, it very, very holds weight. Very, very holds weight, man. So, I mean, that's for our Classic Corner, man. Like for real. Classic Corner. But all right, it's about that time. We coming to a close, coming to an end, man. Merz, brother, man. Like, bro.
I appreciate it, bro. I appreciate it. I want to say this, man. Like, definitely, I appreciate what you're doing.
Man,
but
thank
besides
you, brother,
the fact of having me on the show, which, thank you. I feel blessed. I love what you're doing. Again, like I seen it when you, Chris, and Ryan.
Yeah.
And then now it's molded into like your own thing. You got your segments. Just keep pushing, bro. Cause like I feel like, if it's anybody to carry the culture and from shit that we used to fuck with back in the day, You be the perfect one for this shit.
Oh man, thank you, brother, like, man. Keep, I appreciate that.
Keep pushing, man. If everybody else, man, again, my name is Murs.
Yes.
1/4 of the Family Mart podcast.
And yes, and go ahead.
Yeah,
stop
check
playing,
us out.
Man. Yeah, check them out. The Family Mart podcast, man. They're on YouTube.
Yeah.
Go ahead, subscribe. Comment on their shit.
Yeah,
go follow
man.
Them on their Instagram, TikTok. And go ahead. If, I know y'all got some Patreons out there, so go follow them on
yeah.
Patreon too as well, though, man.
Yeah,
but
man.
As for here at Laser Arms, go ahead and follow us on our TikTok,
yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You name it. We on it.
Get on
YouTube.
It now before
yes,
this shit
yes,
flies,
yes,
man.
Yes, man. We're on everything, man. Rate, subscribe, leave a comment, though,
yes,
man.
Man.
But once again, Murs, my guy, I just want to say thank you, brother. Like, for real, man. I enjoyed every
yes.
bit of this with you, man.
Anytime, man.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Anytime,
yes,
brother.
Yes, yes, yes. But until then, this is your boy, Skeeter Steve, and my man, Murs, Lace Rhymes. We are out of here.
Peace.